quote unquote see everyone out this evening. Always a pleasant church to be able to come out, gather together, and study and worship. Thank you all for with us that are here this evening, and let you know that you're honored guests. Happy to have you, and if there's anything that is centered on throughout our worship and you have questions about, I'm really happy to answer those, and you can ask them directly, or you can write it on the back of the visitor's card. We can make a correspondence back and forth, however you desire. If you study any further, we're certainly happy to have you. I'm going to ask that you open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, to chapter 3, as we continue I've been doing on our evening lessons and going through the book of Hebrews, and so we made it to chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3. And one thing about the book of Hebrews, slightly have picked up on it already in these first couple chapters, but here more as we get into this third chapter, and continuously, as you go through it, one thing continuously that is, to me, a point that has been made is, we have to be willing to know the Old Testament as we study the book of Hebrews. It's time in the end makes references, quotes, as we're going to this evening. He quotes from the book of Psalms, and he's done that already in previous chapters. And then he's going to make mention of Israel and in the wilderness. But especially as we get to Hebrews chapter 11 and go through so much as we go through the book of Hebrews, time began showing us that we have to be willing to study the old law, even though we're not under it today, but study it, to know it, to learn from it, to gain hope from it. So, but we're just, again, as we've been doing, go ahead and just read through this, and as we go reading through it, make some points out and do our best to learn from it. Again, just as we started off, therefore, it's making a point, picking up what it brought out from the previous chapter. And as, again, we sometimes split these things up and think, well, this is a section, this is a section. And as you study and make sure we understand that when these letters, when these books were written, they were written just straight forth. They didn't have chapters and verses. But the authors did not write it that way. They're broken up that way, so we have it easier to find these verses, find where it is, rather than saying, well, it was midway in the book of Hebrews or somewhere in the beginning, a few paragraphs down. But they broke it up in these chapters and verses, and so that's why it easily applies with what is being said in the previous chapters, because it was all one letter. It was all one letter as it was being written. And so again, as it ended in chapter 2, speaking above about our Lord and Savior, about His willingness, and go ahead and just with me, read the last couple of verses here in chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be merciful, faithful, high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make proposition for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, is able to aid those who are tempted. And so here speaks of Jesus and all that He had went through, and that He is, of course, our mediator because of that. He is able to assist and help everyone in any situation that you are in. Jesus has been tempted as we are tempted here on earth. He lived a life, a human life here on earth. And so He is the high priest. He is set at that standard. And so we enter into chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this first verse, it brings out holy brethren. One point to bring out there is that we are supposed to be holy. Considering we are children of God, we are joint heirs of Christ. And it'll make that point more again here as we continue in this chapter, that we have participation with Christ. And so therefore, we're supposed to be holy. When we obey the gospel, our sins are washed away. So holy brethren, and then it's calling us to remember our confession of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To think of Him, think about how wonderful He is above the apostles, above the priests. He is our high priest. He is the one that we are following. Remember and hold fast to our confession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. And so stop here, as it starts to talk about the house, again, this is, I believe, even with Moses, it's talking about those under God. And of course, it will apply to the church here in a bit. And of course, the church wasn't established at the time of Moses. But those who are children of God, and Israel was the children of God at that time. And so it brings out here in verse 2, faithful to God, faithful to the Father, our Lord and Savior is faithful to him, appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So he's making the comparison with Lord and Moses here. And then we're going to look at the comparison of basically us and the children of Israel as we continue through this chapter. And so again, knowing who Moses is, it is important as we look at this scenario, this anti-type of Moses and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he has built the house, has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And so, as we look at these two verses together, again, bringing out how Christ is counted more worthy for glory than Moses. Again, Moses was great. Moses was faithful. As it reads here, we know Moses, yes, he had slipped at points. He had his time. He is human, all of sin. But he was counted faithful. Especially as we get to Hebrews, later on in Hebrews, talks about those who were faithful. Because, again, Moses. And so here he is considered faithful, but Jesus is due more glory than Moses. Why? Because the builder is going to receive more glory than those who serve him. And so here, again, as we look at Moses and all that he had done, and his house again, given instruction in building the tabernacle, right? Building the tent of meeting. And so as he did all these great things, he still is not greater than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One is that Jesus, of course, established the church, which is greater than the children of Israel, greater than that physical meeting dwelling place. But also, as it's bringing out here, Jesus was his God. Jesus is the builder of the house, and the builder is the one that should receive more glory. As we go around, you know, how do we forget the thing that the credit, of course, we may not know exactly who built what house, which house. When you go into someone's house, you go into your own home, and if you like it, you go around and just giving credit to these people. Someone built that. They're the one that you're truly giving praise to, giving honor for their work, their craftsmanship, and the art that they had done in creating this house. And so, as we look at the same thing bringing out here, Jesus is the builder. God has built all things, as we look at verse 4, from the house built by someone, but he built all things is God. So that's a common one with Lincoln right now. Sometimes occasionally get caught up and talk about built. He says that God built that. I'm like, yeah, how did that? I mean, he created the stuff that we use to make it. And then he also gave us the ability to make it, the knowledge and wisdom of God in a way built it. Now, we personally made it. God is the one that made the material. God is the one that made us. God is the one that gave us the understanding. And so when it comes down to it, God is the one that is who all glory and praise for the craftsmanship of everything and continue forth. So in verse 5 says, most of the people was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, and we hold fast the confession and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. So again, Moses and he was faithful, and the house was servant, but it brings out for a testimony of those things which will be spoken afterward. So again, he is setting forth the law that is taking place with our Lord Savior and establishing the church. And building those things, and of course, being the Messiah, the Christ,
one that forgives him, Moses had done a lot of great things.
He led them through the Red Sea, he led them through the wilderness.
But again, he is not Christ. He cannot fully forgive his sins. He can give them the law that God has established. He can tell them what sacrifice needed to be made and point them in the right direction. But he's still not a Lord of sin. He was still a servant, leading us, leading the children of Israel, setting the example for things to come. And so, but Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house we are. Again, making us understand, comes to that knowledge that we are the Lord's church. And making sure we understand that this is just a building. That if there was ever a time to come, that it was considered, well, should we ever move location? Should we ever buy another lot and build somewhere else? And you know, we get sentimental. All this is for grandma, grandpa, man. They're the ones that helped establish the congregation in the first place. It'd be so hard. But when it comes down to it, it is just a bit. That we, the people, as we gather together, we make up the church. We make up the church. We make up the house of God. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be dwelling within our hearts. And so we need to understand that as we look to the Word and then understand that Christ is the one that's built it, right? That He is in charge of it. God is the one that sent Him down, and Jesus is the one that said, I will build my church. It is His kingdom. And so, forward, and here's where we get into some of the stuff brought out throughout the Old Testament again. Here's verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and stop there just real quick, just to make sure we acknowledge again, even under the Old Testament, as the prophets wrote, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We can say in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture is God breathed out. That's because the Holy Spirit had moved them. And Peter acknowledges that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's saying here. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says. Now, a human is the one that actually said it. A human is the one that actually pinned this down. And Psalm 95, if you want to go reread this, it's the same as you can read through Psalm 95, look at verse 7 through 11. At least, I wrote 7 through 11. As you look here and we look at these verses, so reading with me here, picking up verse 7 again, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion is a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so it's given us again the example of the children of Israel. This is if you're following along with the reading schedule in the book of Numbers right now. We just went through this part. Just got past it where they got to the land of Canaan, they sent in the spies, 10 of them come back complaining, saying, well, yeah, it was great land and it has some great produce, but they're giants. They're the sons of these mean men, and it's just, there's no way. We can't do it. And so they decided they couldn't, so God says, fine. Then you won't enter into my rest. You won't enter into this land. You will not inherit it if you do not trust me. Then afterwards, they try to go up by themselves without God and Moses with them. And so they were chased back. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Again, there's learning for us in that. That we need to put trust in God while there is time to do so. For them, it was too late. It was too late to say, wait, I do believe, we'll do it, God, I'll obey. When it's the day of judgment, and the angels are already gathering us, it's too late. So we need to prepare ourselves now. We need to prepare ourselves today. As you read along with me in verse 12, picking up in verse 12, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you
an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God.
Beware. Take heed. Be careful. Prepare yourself. Lest any of us become having an evil heart. And again, don't take it to the point that evil just means that you're fully evil, that you're that murderer, that you're that someone who's a killer, and that you're the worst person in the world. Again, the Bible says if you hate your brother, then you're just as bad as a murderer. We don't have love for one another. And so when one gets a bad heart and starts swaying away from God, we need to be ready for that. And so as we think about that, we think about others who might be slipping or following. That's what leads us to verse 13. It says, but exhort, encourage everybody, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, so we take advantage of today. Today is your opportunity. That children of Israel was giving your opportunity. They got to the land. They sent out spies to figure out the best battle plan to go in and out it. To know whether or not it's fortified walls or they're able to just march into the cities. They have time to pray to God and ask God for his direction on how they're supposed to go about it. But they came back and missed our opportunity by saying it's a disaster. We can't do it. Let the man take the back into it. They missed the opportunity. So while we have the opportunity today, look around and ask who needs encouragement, who needs to be let known that they are loved, that they are cared for, who needs that the Lord say, I'm praying for you, don't give up. Be there for one another so that none may miss out on this opportunity. Verse 14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confession steadfast to the end. We become partakers in Christ of Christ. So what does it say here again? That we are partners. We are heirs. And in Christ, we are partners with Christ. We wear his name. That's why we call ourselves Christians. So when we become joint heirs in Christ, we are part of his family. But it's only if we hold fast to our confession. It's only if we continue faithful in his service. He is the author of salvation to all who obey him. To all who are faithful in his kingdom. So we have to be true to our faith, true to our confession that we have made, that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so that therefore, I'm going to walk according to the commands he's given, I'm going to follow in the footsteps that he has set. We're going to work in his service, work in his kingdom. And so again, it brings us back to Psalm 95 once again, verse 15, all that is said, today if you will hear the voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And so again, quoting the same thing, if you have the heart, then let God in. His word has a sharp and a two-edged sword, able to pierce your heart, able to pierce your soul, and help you to overcome any temptation that you are facing. Any struggle that you are going through, God is here for you. Jesus is ready to bring you. They are ready to forgive your sins and to help you faithfully in his service. So let's finish reading the rest of chapter here, 16 through 19. It says, for who having heard rebelled? And indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose horse fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of make that question for us, make it, and ask yourself, am I going to miss out? Am I going to miss out on seeing the tree of life, the river of life? Am I going to miss out on being able to worship face to face with our Lord and Savior? Why did they miss out? Because of their unbelief. Because when it came down to it, and they were tested. They were tested. They stood, and the temptation for them was actual giants. The temptation, the test for them was going into an actual battle. But they've also had a lot of signs to prove that God delivered them. They were in Egypt and saw the plagues. They crossed the Red Sea on dry land, saw the water come down on the Egyptians. They wandered in the wilderness and received water from rocks, received bread from the heavens, received meat as birds were just brought in. They had overcome enemies as they were turned all the way. And so they had plenty of signs to know what God is taking. And so there was no excuse, even as they came up here and said, well, these men are giants. And there are many, and their walls are tall and strong and fortified. But we serve God. And so can you sit here this evening and say, I got a good excuse on why I have not come forward and obeyed the gospel? I have a clear good excuse. I mean, family, friends, were. Will they stand up on the day of judgment? Or are you ready to give yourself to God and say, have your way with me? Mold me to the image you desire me to be. So we extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day in which you can have your sins forgiven. If you only come forward, confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and washed in the blood of Christ. Coming up a new person, coming up a Christian, a child of God, a partner with Christ. If you're here, you've already done that, you just need prayers and congregation, you need assistance, and continuing to faith in the ministers. So please, let us know.
Thank you.